Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Free to Choose a Personal Statement is a 1980 nonfiction work by Milton Friedman and Rose Friedman that presents a clear defense of free market economics and individual liberty. Written to accompany the well-known television series of the same name, the book explains how economic freedom, political freedom, and prosperity are connected, while arguing that excessive government intervention often weakens all three. Rather than offering an abstract academic treatise, it is a public-facing argument aimed at a broad audience, including general readers, students, policymakers, and anyone interested in economics and public policy. The Friedmans use historical examples, policy critiques, and accessible reasoning to show how regulation, taxation, welfare design, and state control can create unintended consequences. At the same time, they propose market-oriented alternatives that they believe would preserve choice and improve prosperity. The book remains influential because it combines a strong ideological position with a readable explanation of how markets and governments shape everyday economic life. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, economic freedom as the foundation of prosperity and personal choice. The central claim of the book is that economic freedom is not a narrow technical issue, but a basic condition for broader human freedom. The Friedmans argue that when individuals are free to choose how they earn, spend, save, and invest, markets coordinate activity more effectively than centralized control. This matters because prosperity, in their view, depends on millions of decisions made by individuals rather than by officials who cannot know local circumstances or personal preferences. The book presents economic liberty as both a practical mechanism and a moral principle. It allows people to pursue their own goals while also generating wealth through competition and voluntary exchange. This framing gives the book its distinctive force. It is not simply defending capitalism as an efficient system, but connecting market institutions to independence, diversity, and social mobility. By doing so, the Friedmans build an argument that free markets are valuable not only because they produce goods, but because they protect the space for personal decision-making. Secondly, why government intervention often produces unintended and damaging results. A major theme of the book is skepticism toward government action that is intended to solve economic or social problems, but ends up creating new distortions. The Friedmans repeatedly argue that when the state becomes the middleman, policies often become less flexible, more costly, and less responsive to real needs. Regulation may protect some interests while raising prices or limiting innovation. Taxation can discourage productive behavior. Bureaucratic programs may survive even when they perform poorly because they are protected by political incentives rather than market discipline. The book does not claim that every public policy fails, but it insists that intervention should be judged by outcomes rather than intentions. This is one reason the text remains influential in policy debates. It gives readers a framework for asking what side effects a policy may create before assuming it will work, as the Friedmans use this logic to challenge a broad range of interventions, making the book a systematic critique of the assumption that government management is automatically wiser than decentralized choice. Thirdly, public schools, welfare, and other social programs as tests of state power. The book uses education and welfare policy as especially important examples of how government involvement can limit choice and reduce efficiency. In education, the Friedmans criticize heavily regulated public school systems because they tend to assign families a default option rather than allowing meaningful competition among schools. Their concern is not only quality, but also the loss of consumer choice and accountability. In welfare policy, they question systems that expand dependency or entrench large bureaucracies without solving underlying problems effectively. The argument is broader than these two fields. It suggests that when the state supplies services directly or controls access too tightly, individuals lose the ability to select arrangements that fit their needs. This topic is important because it shows how the book translates free market principles into concrete policy debates. Instead of speaking only about prices and profits, the Friedmans apply their ideas to institutions that shape daily life, especially for families and children. That makes the book relevant beyond economics, since it addresses how public systems influence opportunity and autonomy. Fourthly, the Great Depression and the role of monetary policy in economic instability. The Friedmans also use historical analysis to show how government mistakes can worsen major crises. One of the best-known examples in the book is their interpretation of the Great Depression, which they link in part to failures of monetary policy and the Federal Reserve's inability to prevent a severe contraction in the money supply. This historical argument is significant because it shows that the authors are not relying only on ideology or general preference for markets. They try to identify specific institutional failures that made a downturn more severe. Their treatment of the Depression supports a wider claim state institutions are not immune to error, and in some cases, their mistakes can magnify instability rather than prevent it. The book uses this case to challenge the assumption that financial crises prove the need for more centralized control. Instead, it suggests that sound monetary management and limited, disciplined government are more reliable safeguards than broad intervention. This makes the historical sections especially important for readers trying to understand the book's policy logic, rather than just its political message. Lastly, a public argument for free market ideas presented through accessible examples, Free to Choose stands out not only for its content, but for how it presents its ideas. The book is written for a wide audience and was closely tied to a 10-part public television series, which helped translate economic theory into accessible discussion. Rather than using dense academic language, the Friedmans rely on vivid policy examples, historical comparisons, and practical reasoning to make a coherent case for free markets. This format matters because it broadened the reach of economic debate beyond specialists. The book helped popularize a distinctly market-oriented way of thinking about inflation, regulation, welfare, and public choice. At the same time, the accessible style does not mean the argument is neutral. It is openly persuasive and clearly aligned with classical liberal economics. That combination of readability and strong viewpoint is part of the book's lasting influence. Readers can see how economic principles are turned into public argument, and how complex policy questions can be explained without losing their real-world stakes. For that reason, the book remains a landmark in policy writing as well as in economic thought. In conclusion, Free to Choose is best suited for readers who want a clear, influential introduction to free market economics and the political philosophy that supports it. Policymakers, students of economics, readers interested in public policy, and anyone trying to understand modern debates over regulation, taxation, welfare, and school choice will find it especially useful. Its practical value lies in the way it teaches readers to evaluate government action by incentives and consequences, rather than by good intentions alone. Intellectually, it offers a disciplined case for linking economic liberty to broader personal freedom, making it more than a simple defense of markets. What distinguishes it from many other books in the same category is its combination of historical examples, accessible prose, and public argument. It is both an ideas book and a policy book, and it was designed to reach a mass audience without sacrificing its core economic claims. Even readers who disagree with its conclusions can benefit from its clarity, its structured reasoning, and its enduring influence on debates about the proper role of government. If you would like to support Milton Friedman, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.